you to open your Bibles to Luke 22. If I'm not mistaken, that might be on page 881. The time has come. It's the last day before Jesus will go to the cross. The last day before he'll go to the cross to pay the penalty that your sins and my sins deserve. Passover has come. And the disciples asked Jesus where he'd like to celebrate the Passover meal. In our passage, Luke tells us of how Christ instructed the disciples to prepare for that Passover meal that night, this night, which would then become forever known as the Last Supper. And then Luke brings to us the events and some of the conversation that occurred around the table that night, table of the Lord. Our sermon passage today will be Luke 22, verses 7 through 23. And if we have any hope of making it through what I intend to be a 14-point sermon, we might want to go ahead and get started on that right away. As always, I want to encourage you to keep your Bibles open throughout our message today. Luke 22, beginning in verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where will you have us prepare it?" He said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar on water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters, and tell the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large upper room furnished. Prepare it there." And they went and found it just as he had told them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it amongst yourselves. For I tell you that from now on, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, "This cup is poured out for you, that is poured out for you is the cup of the new covenant in my blood. But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined. But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed." And they began to question one another, which one of them it could be who was going to do this. Brothers and sisters in Christ, this is God's word for you today. The grass may wither and the flower may fade, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. Pray with me. Lord God, we thank you for your enduring word. Today especially, Lord, we thank you for the enduring blessing that is the Lord's Supper, which you have given to us. Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself to us as well. You have given yourself to us to redeem us and to bring us back to the Father. Lord, bless us through your word preached. And then bless us also as a little later we partake of this holy food. And we ask this all in your name. Amen. You know, in this passage we have some of what I believe are some of the most beautiful words ever spoken. Some of the most touching words that have ever been shared between one person and others. Do you see what words I might be speaking of in that passage? So Christ's words from verse 15. Look at that. It's when Christ says, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Christ eagerly desired for this night to come. He eagerly desired to share this Passover meal with them. Even though one of them, before the night would be over, would betray him. And even though before the next day would be over, he would hang on the cross, dying an awful death. But in spite of that, still, he was eager for it all to happen. Eager for this time, for this night to come. And I suggest to you that it was out of the sense of eagerness to celebrate the Passover meal that he had actually gone to lengths in advance to make arrangements for this gathering with his disciples. Some would say that when Christ says to Peter and John to go to the city, you'll find a man with a water jar on his head. Follow him and there'll be a room waiting for you there. Some say that that was a supernatural knowledge, part of Christ's omniscience, and that could be. But I'm actually inclined to believe that Jesus simply made arrangements in advance. He eagerly looked forward to this meal, so in the same way that a bride might eagerly look forward to her wedding reception, he did what a bride does. As you go to talk to a caterer, or as you may reserve a room at a restaurant. I'd suggest that because of his eagerness to celebrate this meal with all of its accompanying significance, that Christ set these arrangements up in advance. Not that that's all that big of a deal. Now, why might it be? Why might it be that Christ has so eagerly looked forward to this night? Well, in part, I think Christ just desired to share this meal with his friends because he just wanted to be in their company again. He desired to have one more sweet moment of intimate fellowship with these, his dearest of friends. He spent the last 3 years of his life pouring into them. We remember that within the next 24 hours, he'll allow his blood to be poured out upon the ground for them as well, so that they might be saved and be with him for eternity. Jesus loved these men, and he wanted to have one more moment with them before he'd face what the Father had set before him to face. But this wasn't just any meal. This was the Passover meal. And I know that most of you are familiar with the significance of the Passover. The Passover is a celebration, a remembrance of how the Lord delivered the Hebrews out of the hands of the Egyptians after 400 years of slavery and bondage. For the Jews, the Passover would forever represent the Lord's deliverance of his people out of that bondage. When the Lord heard their cries for deliverance, and he responded with a mighty salvation. After that first Passover night, the Lord told the Jews that they were to celebrate the Passover annually throughout all the generations. Really, Passover was central to the identity of Jewish people. Every year, faithful Jews would gather in their homes in similar ways following a prescribed liturgy for the evening. And they'd retell the story about how they had been delivered out of Egypt, out of slavery, how the Lord preserved them from the judgment of the angel of death, and then how the Lord led them into a promised land, into a land flowing with milk and honey. Jesus was eager to celebrate the Passover meal with his friends. But he was eager also for it to be demonstrated how he was the fulfillment of all of the symbolism that Passover entailed. You'll remember that it was on the night of that 10th, of that first Passover when the 10th plague would come upon the land. The 10th plague was a plague that would bring death to the firstborn or the firstborn animal of every home unless the doorpost of that home was covered by the blood of the Passover lamb. Every family was faced with the same decision. Either have their home be covered by the blood of the lamb or have their home be visited by the angel of death. The Passover lamb and the blood of that lamb represented deliverance for the Hebrew people. And 1400 years later, in anticipation of the deliverance that Jesus would bring, John the Baptist would declare upon seeing Jesus walking along the shore of the Jordan River, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Jesus Christ is the true Passover Lamb. And the deliverance that he grants isn't just a deliverance from a foreign oppressor and slavery, but he's got the power to deliver us from the bondage of sin and the bondage, the chains of death. It was Christ's desire to fulfill not just the symbolism of Passover, but to fulfill all of Scripture. In Luke 18:31, Jesus said to the disciples, "See, we must now go to Jerusalem, and everything that is written about the Son of Man by the prophets must be accomplished." Christ was eager to fulfill God's promise that he made to the serpent and to Adam and Eve in the garden after our first person's sin, that out of the woman's seed would come one whom the serpent would bruise his heel, but that the offspring of the woman would crush the serpent's head. And that, of course, is what happened at the cross. Jesus was eager to reveal himself to be the long-promised Messiah, King David's royal son, the descendant of David who would be a forever king of a forever kingdom. Jesus was eager to fulfill the prophecies of Isaiah and all of the prophets of all time. Prophecies of Isaiah, for instance, including these: "The Lord will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and you shall call his name Emmanuel. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from this time forth and forevermore." Jesus was eager to fulfill the prophecies of Isaiah 53 about God's suffering servant, whose Messiah, the Christ, God's anointed. That familiar passage: "He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. As one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that has brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of us all." Jesus was eager for these prophecies to be fulfilled, for these and for some 300 other prophecies about him. And all of those prophecies, all of Scripture really, is fulfilled in him. We see all those prophecies fulfilled also in this table that's set before you. And in that meal that Christ eagerly shared with his disciples that night in the upper room, that night that we know as the Lord's Supper and the Last Supper, Jesus was eager for all of that to be made known. It was also Christ's eager desire to inaugurate the new covenant, which the book of Hebrews tells us is a far better covenant than the old. Hebrews tells us that Jesus is a better priest, a better mediator of a better covenant, having made a far superior once-for-all sacrifice, which provides a complete atonement for sin. That new covenant, of course, which is sealed by the better promise, His blood. Jesus was eagerly looking forward to inaugurating the new covenant. Eagerly looking forward also to instituting what we know as the Lord's Supper. You know, Jesus didn't have to give us the Lord's Supper. He could have just given us the cross. Doesn't it seem like that would have been enough? Jesus could have given us reconciliation with the Father without this Lord's Supper. We might be tempted to think that that would have been just fine. But the Lord had a better plan for us. And that better plan includes this meal. This meal that we share in again today. Because there's a special blessing that we receive when we gather together as God's people. Gather together in His name. There's a special blessing that we receive when we see and when we receive the bread and the cup. And it was Christ's earnest desire that we would receive that blessing. And so He instituted the Lord's Supper that night. Because He knows our need. Because He loves us. In this meal that Christ looked forward to with eagerness, He also gives us a foretaste of a future era that is still to come. Jesus talks about that in our passage, about how He's not going to eat or drink the fruit of the vine again until the kingdom of God has come in fullness. We still have sorrows in this life. The Lord's redeemed us so that we can experience the joys of redemption, but there is still much sorrow and, yes, death in this life. But there's so much more awaiting us. A far better existence waiting for us. There's a day coming when Jesus will come again. And when He'll turn back all of the effects of the fall. There's a day coming when all things will be made new again. And when He'll take us to be with us. And we'll live with Him in glorified bodies. And there will be no more mourning, no more sorrow, no more death, no more sin. And He'll bring heaven down to earth, and the new heavens and the new earth will be birthed into existence. And as those things occur, we'll be invited to take a seat at another table, to celebrate another glorious meal, a meal that's known as the marriage supper of the Lamb. And the Lord's Supper, this little bit of bread and juice or wine that we take of at this time, it's a foretaste of that heavenly meal. He whets our appetite. He gives us an appetizer of what that glorious full meal one day that we share in the Lord will be like. When we share that meal with Him, with the King, with the Lamb, with the Father, and with all of God's redeemed people from throughout all the ages. Christ was also eager for this night to come because He was eager to complete the work that the Father had given Him to do. You know, in John 4:34, Jesus said, "My food is to do the will of Him who sent me and to accomplish His work." The Father gave Him a mission, and the Son was eager to fulfill that mission. And that's why on this night, He was so eager for that night, that time to come. He was eager to be glorified. He was eager to see this Father be glorified. Just a little bit later, after they leave the upper room, Jesus goes out to pray. And during that prayer recorded in John 17, John says that Jesus lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, "Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that your Son may glorify you." That time had come and Christ had been eagerly awaiting it, eagerly looking forward to it. In John 3, Jesus said that the Son of Man must be lifted up, and that in that the Son would receive glory, that those who looked upon him in faith would receive the gift of eternal life, and the Father would be glorified as well. Jesus also was looking forward eagerly to this night because he was eager to return to his Father. He had spent some 30 plus years living this life that we live. Yes, still in an intimate communion with the Father, but in a different kind of communion than that which he had known from before all of creation. And he was eager to return to the Father, eager to return to his side, eager to return to the throne room of heaven, where he would receive the glory and praise from all of the hosts of heaven, which he is so entitled to receive. I also say that Jesus was eager this night, for this night to come, because he was eager to save the thief on the cross. In less than 24 hours, think about it, who's the first person to be saved by the blood of Jesus Christ being spilled upon the ground? Who's the first person to be saved by the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ? It was that man hanging on a cross next to him. The same one who had earlier thrown curses out and blasphemed him. But he would also be the first person who would see the Son of Man lifted up and who would receive him in faith and would move from death to life, eternal life through trusting in the Lord Jesus, as he would say, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And we remember Christ's response, "Truly, truly, I say, you will dine with me in paradise this day." Likewise, too, Jesus was eager for this day to come because he was eager for you to be saved as well. He was eager to give his life for you. We remember Hebrews 12:2. Let us fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus was eager to see you be redeemed. And so he was eager, counted it a joy even, to suffer to make that be possible. And so, friends, I want to encourage us all. May we, in response, be eager to receive him. May we all do that. May we be eager to receive him. Now there's a warning that's present in this passage also. Do you see it there at the end? Verses 21 to 23. And the warning is this: not all who shared in that meal that night have a share with Christ in redemption. Not all, even perhaps, who share in this meal that we celebrate today. It is possible to eat of this meal without having true saving faith. That happened that night. Verse 21, "But behold, the hand of him who betrays me is with me on the table. For the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, But woe to that man by whom he is betrayed. And of course, that's talking about Judas. This one who hung out with Jesus. This one who was identified as being a follower of Jesus by others. But this one who did not have true saving faith. Friends, we are all called to a true, submitted, dependent faith in Him. And we must apply ourselves to the work of persevering in the faith. God promises to preserve all those whom the Lord gives His life to. But He also calls upon us to apply ourselves to the work of perseverance. Hebrews 3, 12 and 13. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. I'll invite the elders to come forward as we prepare to partake of the Lord's Supper. One of the ways that the Lord blesses us in the Lord's Supper is through strengthening our faith. Jesus invites us to come and eat His flesh, drink His blood, He says in the Gospels. And He says that in doing that, we will find a satisfaction that will be a satisfaction that will be sufficient for us. And we must come to Him over and over and over, each and every day. Each day the Lord encourages us to pray for our daily bread. Each day we pray for grace sufficient for that day. And in a similar way, we must come repeatedly to the Lord's table and receive the blessing, receive the spiritual nourishment that He provides to us. And that's one of the ways that He protects us from the deceitfulness of sin that can lead to one falling away. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You that You are our eager Savior, our eager Redeemer. Lord, may we be eager to trust in You always. You are our eager Good Shepherd who leads us and protects us. You lead us into shepherd. You lead us beside still waters and green, abundant pastures. Lord, may we be eager to listen for Your voice. Give us feet that are eager to follow where You lead us. Lord, we thank You that You were eager not only to suffer the Passover meal and to fulfill all these things that we referenced, but You were eager to suffer for our sake. We remember that it is not with precious jewels, precious stones, precious metals that we are redeemed, but we are redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, would You apply all of the benefits of our redemption to us again as we partake of this meal. Take these common elements of bread and juice and set them apart for Your holy purposes, we pray. Be pleased to do that, Lord. Amen. In that passage, Luke tells us that after He had given thanks, He took bread and He broke it. And He gave it to them, saying, "This is My body given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me." And we now will distribute the bread at this time, brothers. The crackers are gluten-free.
body of our Lord Jesus Christ, given for you. Take and eat in remembrance of him. And now as we're seated, we'll sing the first two verses of that song. Likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, "This cup is poured out, that is poured out for you, is the cup of the new covenant in my blood." I want to remind you, the outermost ring is juice; the inner two rings are wine, brothers. cup of the new covenant of the blood of Jesus Christ. Take, drink, and remember.